Good morning. The only announcement I have is a reminder that immediately following our worship service this morning, we'll be having our voters meeting to approve the upcoming fiscal year's budget. We'll be meeting downstairs in the Undercroft, and as many of you as can come as possible, it would be greatly appreciated. We, of course, need a quorum of the voting members in order to pass the budget. So if you are able to come down, we would be very, very grateful for that. The Old Testament reading for this, the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, is from the third chapter of Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from the eighth chapter of 2 Corinthians. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and all earnestness and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the fifth chapter. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement, and he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you, from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jairus was a synagogue ruler, and he had a little daughter just 12 years old who was sick. She was very sick. Jairus was hoping Jesus could help her. Jairus was hoping Jesus could help her before it was too late. People were already hearing stories of Jesus healing a man's hand that was withered. They heard of Jesus healing paralyzed people. They even heard Jesus was healing people with leprosy. If Jesus could do all that, then Jesus could certainly heal Jairus' 12-year-old daughter. There was still time for her. There was still hope. But not long after Jairus asked Jesus to help, some men walked up to Jairus from his village. These men pulled Jairus to the side and gave him some horrible news. "Your daughter's dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Just let Jesus go." Everyone wanted Jesus to come to Jairus' house while the little girl was sick. But now the little girl was dead. They thought she was too far gone. These men were basically saying to Jairus, "It's all done and over with. Leave Jesus alone and just come back and take care of your daughter's remains." These men thought nothing could change. So don't waste your time with Jesus anymore. I think all of us can fall into this trap sometimes. We pray, we ask Jesus for help. Maybe we're asking him to come and heal our illness. Maybe we're asking him to visit a loved one and to bring healing upon them. But what happens when the healing doesn't come? What happens when we don't get what we pray for? Are we like Jairus' friends and just think, "Well, maybe we should just let Jesus go on this one"? We ask Jesus for help. We pray and ask him to rescue us from temptation. We don't want to wrestle with the same sins over and over again. So we ask Jesus to come to us and to help heal us. We may pray for the love of sin to be taken away from us. We're hopeful we won't even think of that sin again. But then it happens. The same sin, the same wrestling. Feels like nothing has changed. And we end up thinking just like those men who came to Jairus. Well, let's just leave Jesus alone on this one and not ask him anymore. Doesn't look like anything is going to change. There are times we can be just like Jairus' friends. When we're wrestling with a disease, we ask people to pray for us. We can put our name on a prayer chain. We can e-blast the prayer requests out to everyone. But then the disease we pray for may not get better. The disease doesn't go away. And we can feel just like Jairus' friends as we think, well, that didn't work. Don't bother Jesus anymore. Let him go. Maybe he'll help somebody else. When those men came to Jairus, they shared some truly horrible news with him. His daughter had already died. It was terrible. It was gut-wrenching to hear. I have no doubt Jairus probably crumbled to the ground wailing. Any parent would. But Jesus was overhearing these men speak to Jairus. Jesus was watching all this happen. And Jesus didn't let this bad news stop him, did he? Jesus wasn't going to be stopped by some bad news. Jesus can't be stopped by bad news. Jesus actually thrives when there's bad news. Because it's in those worst times of our lives, the most terrible times in our lives, when Jesus does the greatest of things. Jesus gives us a hope in him that can't be seen or felt or found anywhere else in this world. Jesus gives us a hope that we can't always see right in front of us. And that's exactly what Jesus did for Jairus. Jesus walked over to Jairus, picked him up, put his hands on Jairus' shoulders, looked him in the eye and said, Jairus, do not fear, only believe. Those men who told Jairus to just leave Jesus alone could not have been more wrong. Jesus wasn't about to be stopped by some bad news. So Jesus walked with Jairus all the way to his house. And when they got to the house, people were wailing and crying. And Jesus said to them, why are you making a commotion and crying? The child is not dead, just sleeping. And the people laughed at Jesus. They thought he was ridiculous, a joke. But being mocked wasn't going to stop Jesus from doing what he came to do. The bad news did not stop Jesus from getting to that girl. The people laughing at Jesus was not going to stop Jesus from getting to that little girl. And even as Jesus took the little girl by the hand and held her cold hand in his own, even death itself was not going to stop Jesus from getting through to her, from saving her. And with two simple little words, Talitha kumi. Jesus ordered the little girl to live again. Jesus is the Lord of life. Death has to listen to Jesus. Death has to obey Jesus. It has no other choice. And death always must, and death always will listen to Jesus. I know there's so much that tries to get in the way between you and Jesus. So much. Our sins will raise their heads in our lives, and just like Jairus' friends, our sins will say to you, you don't want Jesus, stay with me. I'm so much more fulfilling. Or there'll be past sins you've done, sins that make you feel tainted, sins that literally make you ashamed, make you feel dirty. Your sinful nature is like Jairus' friends whispering in your ear, oh, that sin was too much. God can't love you anymore. not now. Let Jesus go. There's so many things that try to get in between you and Jesus, but nothing in all of creation will ever get in the way of Jesus coming to you. The bad news Jesus overheard about Jairus' daughter did not stop him. Jesus came into this world to overwhelm death with life. That's why Jesus offered his life on the cross for the forgiveness of all sins. Nothing was going to stop Jesus. And Jesus rose from the dead so that all death would stop. Jesus' resurrection means that all deaths in all of creation will only be temporary. And you're already starting to see this victory of Jesus even right now. Today, at the beginning of worship, you confessed your sins before God. You may have thought about some sins done this week or sins done to you that still plague you. All of those sins are bad news. Bad news trying to separate you from Jesus. They are bad news that is trying to keep Jesus at arm's length. But Jesus isn't overwhelmed by that bad news he overheard. Today, Jesus himself came to you and said, I forgive you all your sins. I forgive you with my crucifixion. Your sins are dead. You are now risen up, alive and free from all those sins. Nothing is going to stop Jesus from getting to you, not even death. Keep praying when you are sick. Keep praying when our loved ones are suffering and dying. And keep praying for their deliverance even after they have died. Yes, even after it appears like death has won, keep praying, come Lord Jesus, return and show your power over death and the grave to everyone. Because we all know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus will return one day. And when Jesus does return, he will come with all of his angels. He will open your grave. He will take your hand. And Jesus will say to you, Talitha Kumi, stand up, live again, breathe again. We know this will happen. We know it will happen because you already saw it today. You saw it and heard about it when Jesus came to a little girl and told her to rise, stand up, and live again. You've already seen it. And one day you will see it with your own two eyes. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.